Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. My life is just full of things to do, and I'm now in the process of looking for another administrative assistant, and this is showing me how much my life has changed over the last 15 years since I have been working with this one gal from Idaho, and it is time for us to end this part of our relationship and begin another one. And also because I'm now living in Arizona and she's still in Idaho, and it's not working out very well. So luckily I have some people to interview in the next days, and I realize that there is change in the air. Over the last few weeks, I have been really struggling with the show again, and I decided I would put it out to you because many of you are great listeners of the radio show. We've had a wonderful experience together, and I have really been seeking out people to interview, but it doesn't seem like it's working. So then I have to ask myself, what is the message that Reiki is giving me? Is the message that Reiki is giving me something like, it's time to end the show, or it's time for me to refocus on the show? And I'd like to think it was the last one. It's time for me to do another refocus on the show. I started out with talking about Reiki as I knew it and interviewing masters and students from the system. And through the years, very naturally, I interviewed many people from different systems, and it didn't appear as such because they spoke about giving Reiki to animals or being a child of a Reiki master or their own experiences of Reiki. So now I've started another process, which is to actually seek out people who are of different practices and have them join our show to talk about themselves and their Reiki journey in order to really bring about an integration, a conscious integration piece to the show. And all of this leads me to a place where I think, well, what is our real next step? This feels like the details of what we're doing. And what is our next step? So a couple of weeks ago, I recorded a show, that really spoke about this drive, this momentum toward unity. And when I mean unity, it doesn't mean being the same. It means being ourselves and being able to see where we connect in Reiki and also as human beings. So as I'm getting ready to go on a very long journey to Europe this year for 3 months, I am anticipating lots of different stimulus while I'm over there. And the first thing I'm going to, as I've mentioned before, is the Pro Reiki Conference in Germany, which is open to all Reiki students and masters, as far as I can understand. And it is a really interesting group of people because they are interested in supporting Reiki. Not one practice, but Reiki in general. And I really feel that this is a movement. But what does this movement mean? And I have been in shows about 2 years ago when I spoke to a number of researchers. We were embarking on a series of meetings to talk about a cosmology for Reiki and also to bring to our conscious minds, what is Reiki now? We have all gathered our experiences and have had our own conclusions about these questions. And so as I was looking on the Facebook page for the Reiki Talk Show, I noticed that I was the last one who posted on the Facebook. And I would really love to use this Facebook page for some discussion about cosmology. So one of the things that cosmology is, for me, is that it's a way of a certain point of view. No, let me start again. Cosmology is an explanation of the way the world works through a certain lens. So if we talk about, for instance, the Catholic Church, they have a certain cosmology about how the world was formed, how human beings exist, what their relationships are with other people and with the environment, and so on. And that, all of that is cosmology. It forms, in some way, a foundation of spiritual and physical building blocks and beliefs that allow a person to use the practice in a way that becomes a living practice rather than something that you just read about and then you put it aside. When I was presented with Reiki, I feel like my grandmother, Hawaii Takata, really gave me some foundation stones for her cosmology, her understanding about life through the Reiki lens. And I'm talking about a lens, like a camera lens. And what I heard was, and sometimes it wasn't what she said directly, but how she said it or how she was in the class, basically that everyone and everything is divine, that we are all imbued with Reiki, and that we don't need to be good enough or clean enough or pure enough to do Reiki. Reiki will take care of that because we are Reiki. That's one really big belief system, and it's one very important foundation stone for Reiki practice. And it has proven to me over and over, this foundation block, because, you know, sometimes I don't know if I really feel like giving a Reiki treatment, and so I sit down at the table, I start my Reiki treatment, and lo and behold, Reiki. And it's beautiful. I have a wonderful experience. It puts me back into a context of connectedness. So another foundation block is connection. We are all one. This is what a lot of the New Age people say. It's what science is now saying. It's what people who study the earth have said forever. And we're just coming back to this place after going out and kind of being rebels in separateness. Like, I'm an individual and I don't need anybody else, and we can be independent. That's the cry of the Americans, of course. And we can be independent. It's important for us to be independent. But it's also important as a balancing point for us to recognize that we are all connected in the deepest essential part of our being human. And this essential part is connected to everything on the planet. So one of the precepts that I learned when I took Reiki was, show gratitude to every living thing. And of course, one of the processes of a student is to realize that everything is alive. Rocks, wood, concrete, and and everything is alive and everything is moving. The molecules are moving and things are changing. Rock turns to sand, turns to dust, and is absorbed back into the air and floats to Baffin Island in the North Pole, I understand, and then gets recirculated into the world's atmosphere. We are all one. We are connected. And it is Reiki that is leading us back to this connection. And there is this balance place that we seek that is really, for me, our major task as a human being, to balance our individualness while remaining connected. Another one of the building blocks of this, of the cosmology of this, of Reiki practices everywhere, I believe, is that touch is a healing thing. So there are some practices that don't tell people to touch the body, but they enter into the energy field of the person. And I believe that human touch is magic. It's healing. It's what mothers and fathers do with their children instinctively. They touch their children and their child feels comforted, nurtured, and healed oftentimes. So what is really important is to understand that the etheric body is also a touch, and that we can, what I would like most of all is for all of the Reiki to be able to understand that there is touch on the energy level and there is touch on the physical, and both are effective, and the most effective is to actually have choice. So that's the next building block, I feel, in Reiki, is choice. So Hawaii Takata gave us Reiki, and what she did was she gave us formal treatment and what I call now informal treatment. So she said, you know, these are hand positions. This is what you use, especially if you treat chronic people. You use this because it creates a pattern of energy over the body and allows the body to be energized in a whole body way, which I believe and which I have experienced. At the same time, she would say, you can give Reiki to anybody, anywhere, on any part of their body. You can just hold their hand if they're in the hospital and you can't reach them. You can treat on the top of their head if that's the only place that you can reach. So it means that connection can be in any moment, anywhere, for any length of time. And it is the connection of touch and the connection of one human to another that allows us the magic of Reiki and the healing properties that it contains. Another building block from this is also, who does the healing? This is a really age-old question. It started long before Mikao Usui and the story of his wondering, how did Jesus heal? I believe that people were healed miraculously, in quotes, from the beginning of time. And people have been healers miraculously from the beginning of time. What has not been so evident and has not been so easily accessed is the passing on of this healing practice. And this, for me, is the magic of Reiki. I come from a really clear lineage of people who have been initiated and trained with each other, spent time with each other, had long relationships with each other, in the relative sense of the word. And I feel that this is one way that Reiki comes through. And there are many people who are now in the 100th or maybe even 200th generation from Mikao Usui, and the initiations are still connecting people. Well, why is that? Well, number one, it's because we all have Reiki. We are all Reiki. And at the same time, this connection supersedes in some way the time element. We go back to this understanding that we heal ourselves and that we are all healers, both. So I used to be very against people calling themselves healers, and I still cringe a little bit inside because I feel like there is a danger of our egos getting involved and having to own the healing, which is, for me, one of our human characteristics that doesn't really benefit us as spirit. But if we hold that we are all Reiki, if we hold that we are spirit, we can see that in our Reiki practice, we treat ourselves. So when we treat ourselves, we are both the treater and the treatee. We are both the healer and the healed. And this, for me, is potent. We are, our understanding of healer in our everyday world often is that I will do something to you that will change you. And it is my experience in Reiki that the only change that will happen is that it's the person's willingness to participate, and it is the person's willingness to heal, and we don't know what that healing entails. It could mean that they die physically, but the healing happens on a spiritual, emotional, or even a mental level. So there are some really interesting dynamics that come along with this very potent combination of being both the healer and the healed. This brings up many, many questions about, well, who is actually doing the healing? Is it possible to do Reiki wrong? Do I need to do the perfect hand position in order to cure cancer? Well, all of those questions are answered, but from another level, when you think about the healing coming actually from the person. I believe, and what Reiki has taught me, is that as an organism, I have the power to heal and to adjust in my body whatever I need to adjust to be alive and to live a life. There is a part of me that gets very supported by Reiki because it is, simply put, like water to a seed. The water, the sun, and the soil give the seed nutrient to grow and to blossom. And that's what Reiki is for me. It is the water or the sun or the nutrients in the soil that allow me to grow myself. And in growing myself, I heal myself. And in the last 6 years since I've had cancer, this has become so home-based. It's changed my life over and over again. And whether I live or die has not been the question. The question is, how much of myself can I take in and accept? The parts of me I don't like, the parts of me I want to be different, and the parts of me that are too scary to love, because they're so beautiful. Another one of the building blocks that Hawaii Otakata gave us is that a little connection is better than none. And that seems to hold out. And it also gives us the possibility of entering into this question, what is time? Well, in Reiki, one of the most profound experiences that I've had is that I enter into a time-space warp, we could say, that is so evident. Like, The other day, I went to the dentist in a town very close to here, but still a drive, and I got there in record time, and I was driving the same speed and the same style as I usually drive. Well, why is that? Why is it that in certain areas of a road, it seems like you can get there really fast, and then there are other parts of a road where you just feel like you never will get there. And what happens when somebody says, I'll send you a distant treatment, you forget to send the distant treatment, but the treatment is there anyway. Do we really believe that our connection in thought can pass over a treatment in the right timing? Well, for me, the explanation is that there is no time-space. We all live in every moment. And in every moment, we can give and receive, as human beings, the contact that we have. So what does that say about our world and about our separateness? What does that say about how to resolve conflict? So one of the other building blocks of this practice, Reiki in general, for me is that you can do Reiki whenever you want to, in whatever state of mind you want to. And this I have done often. And when I do it and I'm not happy, I feel conflict inside myself or with someone else, oftentimes that conflict dissolves. And my surmising is that we again go to this place of oneness where there is no separateness. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.